Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7. Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. How are you, Gloria?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tonight, another special night, LTR. And it's going to be a great night, I'm pretty sure. Good to have you here. So how was your day today, Gloria? How was your day?
It was good. It was good. How was your day?
Hello.
You're not hearing me?
I said, was it hectic, busy, slow, or was it a slow
It
day?
Was long. It's long.
It's long. Oh, see, you have long days, huh? Like yes. Myself, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you here tonight. All right. Well, folks, welcome again to LTR. Let's talk relationships. And we're in tonight for a treat. I know that we've been having a lot of great shows over the last number of weeks, some great topics and a lot of engagements, a lot of feedback. So we are very thankful for that. So tonight we are going to be having some guests very shortly. And we're going to be talking about something very interesting. I think you'll find to be a very engaging topic. And tonight I'll be rolling off the dice here. All right. So thanks again for joining us on Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio. We explore the dynamics and evolution of relationships. They identify challenges and offer perspectives through transformative conversations. We're here to promote strong, healthy life and community. That's what we're all about here. And it's important to us that you know that it is not our intention, all right, to offer opinions or advice on how you should live your personal life or how, you know, your personal life, your personal relationships should be. Do your own research, be a free thinker, make sure you are doing well in your own life as well, and know that we wish you love and happiness. And of course, as we look forward to a great show, we want to say a big, big thank you to all our partners, supporters, listeners, and viewers from all over the world. Folks, we've been doing it for over the last year, and you've stayed with us, and you have, you know, stuck by us, and we really, really appreciate that. It means a whole lot to us. It means that we're doing something right, and means that lives have been touched, and you know, and inspired and empowered. And that is what we hear at UME Radio. And in this show, particularly LTR, is about to do empower your lives as well as other shows that you can also find here on UME Radio. All right. See, we know you could be somewhere else. And you know, and but you have chosen to be here, spend time with us. So we'll just jump right into it. You know, so again, let me say welcome. And DJ KTE. It looks like I'm Lone Ranger tonight. Lone Ranger, you know that the old movie, Lone Ranger of the Horse. So tonight I'm Lone Ranger. I'm going tonight at it, and we're gonna have a great time. I'm a divorced man, and you know, I've lived through quite a bit of stuff in my life. I'm not broken. I'm not bitter. I am still, you know, thinking very positive and loving life and expecting better and a great future, the way the good book says and promises me that, you know, the plans that the Creator has for me is not to harm me, but to prosper me, you know, and that I'll be in good health and that I will be able to even bless others with the abundance of what He's given me. We want to say happy birthday, all right, for sure, to anyone who may be celebrating their celebration or celebrating their birthday this month, maybe today. Big happy birthday to you guys. To couples who are celebrating their anniversaries, hey, we want to say big up to you guys. Keep it going. Keep it going. We're behind you. Happy anniversary. All right. And right about now, it's December the 13th. And oh my, it's time flying by. December 13th, and it is now 9:05 p.m. And we are here again to have an amazing night. You can listen or watch this episode, you know, later. You can also listen to Yumi Radio on all major digital platforms, wherever you are, which is a wonderful thing. You can check us out via our app at app.yumiradio.com, available on Apple or Google App Store. All right. And also Cablevision, which is over 1.7 million viewers. So God is good, and He's really expanding us, and we really, really are thankful for all those things that are taking place here at Yumi Radio. You can find us on quite a bit of places. So check out your platform, and you will see us there. So tonight, again, we have a very interesting topic. And in a very short time, I will bring on our guest tonight. And the title of tonight's show is Real Talk, Loving You, Loving Me. All right? It's Real Talk, Loving You, Loving Me. And the guests we have tonight are people, I believe, so far, just seeing the way they move and the way they operate, very transparent, and they're very real. And they're not afraid to say it like it is. So again, like I said, you know, we share our thoughts and those who come on this platform. And hopefully you can find some nuggets. You can find some things to empower your lives and to add some spice. You know, this season here, this Christmas season, is known to be one of the most depressed time for many people across the world. And it is celebrated as a happy, cheery, glittery time. But a lot of people are depressed because the love that they probably were looking for or the experience is not there for a number of reasons. So hopefully tonight's show will be one that will, I guess, help to make your upcoming New Year's brighter. You know, as we close out this year, it'll be a hump in a I would say positive way to add some good flavor to your life and so hopefully some good nuggets you can take out with you if your year has not been going so well so far. So at this time, I'm going to ask the guest to just come on, and we're going to welcome these amazing guests. We have Gloria Aide, Gold Lawrence, and we have G Money, and we have Steve Lawrence. I think I'll add on Dr. Steve Lawrence there myself. But we have some really amazing folks here tonight we're going to talk with. So again, welcome, guys. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Forgive me, Steve. I didn't grow my beard. I didn't get it. I'm trying to make it happen. It's not quite happening yet. You know what I'm saying?
Let's keep that working on it.
It just made it happen for me, man. That beard, it works. It works. It works. So guys, welcome tonight, G Money and Gloria Aide.
Ade Gold.
Ade Gold.
Ade
Gold. Right.
Ade, you know, yeah. But tonight we're gonna have fun. And again, thank you guys for being here to share with our audience. So how was your day, guys? Just, you know, how was your, you know, it's been a crazy time. So these days can be crazy. It can be just, you know, that's nutty, man. what's in your world? What's going on in your world right now? Let's start with Glory.
It's crazy. I'm tired. Oh. It has been a long day. It has been a really long day. Okay. But I mean, we're all preparing for Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas season. And it's cold. And I'm enjoying it.
Good, good. So you're trying to keep your spirits up. You're trying to still, in spite of everything, I'm trying to keep my spirit up.
Yes, definitely.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
G-Money, talk to me.
Well, you know, today was a good day. It wasn't quite as busy and wasn't quite as hectic as what Gloria Day said. But Did I mess it up already?
No, you didn't.
You did better than me. I'm like, you know, it was, your name like crazy.
Yeah. It was a good day. It wasn't, you know, quite as hectic, but I'm sure that, you know, the hectic days are coming because I still have to finish some Christmas shopping. But part of the deal this time of the year, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, Doc. Dr. Steve.
Yeah, it's been a day. I spent the weekend with some amazing people that I do some work with, and it was just good. I've been driving for like 4 hours, so I literally got in like 20 minutes ago, freshened up, changed my shirt, put my tie on, and I'm here.
I see. But,
you were a soldier, man. I tell you, 4 hours, I'd be knocked out. But hey, what can I say? You know, that's good, folks. You have not seen Lady Misty here tonight, but never mind. Never fear. She's somewhere around. She is not here tonight with us, but she's here with us in spirit.
Mm-hmm. She celebrated our anniversary yesterday.
Yes, so she might be having a hangover, you know. I don't know if it was red wine or rose wine or something took a hold of her, but she's here tonight. I won't even ask her why, but I think I'll leave it just like that.
Let it go.
But
man,
folks, if you've been listening, guys, I'm sure you heard me talk about the title tonight. And maybe we can have her just to pop it up so you can see it again in case you missed it. But I think it's a very interesting one. Again,
loving me.
Yeah, loving you, loving me. Mm-hmm. There you go. Real talk. Loving you, loving me. I read an article today, and it was very interesting. The article, if I can find it here, I would love it. But maybe a host can pop it real quick. But I don't want to misquote that passage. But a very powerful read. It talks about, you know, how do you know when you're in love and when you're just loving somebody, mm-hmm. in love and just loving. And we're talking about the differences in the two of those things. Now, G-Money, you were here last time, and, you know, you're a new face to UME Radio second time, but still not that new because you said some very important things. And I like the fact that you were so direct and so... I would say, honest, you know, in your thoughts. It connected with me very well, and I think all the folks as well. I mean, the crew was great. All guys was amazing.
No, I appreciate
that.
I do.
But it's something that I really liked about what you were saying, how you expressed your thoughts. But when you hit this topic like this, real talk, loving you, loving me, what comes to your mind? I'm still trying to feel out myself, but what comes to your mind when you hear that topic? Real talk. Loving you, loving me.
How you perceive love, how you give love, and how you want to be loved. You know, and you know, that's what it kind of jumps off at me. You know, I have an idea of what my love is when I'm giving it, and I have an idea of what the love I want back is. It's just a matter of whether or not, you know, the people that I'm involved with understand that.
Okay. You know, I when I was younger, I was about 11 years old, and I was with my family, with my uncle and my aunt, and I wasn't the smartest kid in the camp. You know, I was a late bloomer, so a lot of things that kid understood, I just didn't quite get it. You know, but they were love songs back then. It wasn't as, you know, outrageous as now, you know, loving you, pretty clean lyrics, you know, Lionel Richie, you know those guys, Lionel Richie and, you know, Kenny Rogers, real nice songs. And they were said, no, when they said you're in love, they mean they're having sex. I'm like, no, it doesn't mean that. And my cousin was saying, no, when they said I'm making love to you, they mean they're having sex. And I was saying, no, I can't. That's impossible. You know, as I got older, of course, I realized that a lot of these love-making songs, they were referring to sex. Mm-hmm. So again, language again. So many people don't understand certain language. Like I said, love and language is what does it mean to you? And is it connected with the other person? So Dr. Steve, you're hearing this title here, Loving Me, Loving You. What comes to your mind? Because I'm still trying, like I'm just trying to find a seat here for that phrase, personally.
Well, personally, when I think about it, I've stated before, I don't believe in fairy tales. I've never been a Disney fan or anything like that. I'm very realistic in my expectations in all relationships, whether it's a intimate relationship, a life partner relationship, or family members, because literally that's what society is. A bunch of relationships that we don't like to use transactional, but it's more like a reciprocal arrangement where you do for others because you know they will do for you and that kind of thing. So when I met my wife and we were courting, I simply said, all I will give is reciprocity. I won't promise the fairy tales. I won't promise the swimming the channel and all that nonsense. I do cliches, I do realistic. I will provide and protect as to the best of my abilities. And I hope you give the same, you know, to me. And that has made it an amazing journey, because even when we have to have the tough conversations and put in the work, because we've had trauma from previous relationships and experiences and business arrangements, we know that it's coming from a place of love. And because we know it's coming from a place where we hold each other in the highest regard, it's never about anyone being malicious or being destructively critical. It's about reciprocity. I'm going to give to you protection, support, as much as I possibly can, humanly possible, because I know you will do the same for me. And I found that that is a more balanced and a more reasonable, you know, outlay than some of the things that we have listened to in songs and poetry. Mm-hmm. I love the color of the art, you know, the artistic expression, but I'm a computer scientist, so logic is built into pretty much how I structure and interpret life. So that's a lens I view life through.
Wow. Miss Lawrence?
I'm just thinking about the song, Every Time It Rains, I Fall to Pieces. I thought it was rain falling. That was not the case. So I learned later on. You know, when they say every time it rains, I get wet. It wasn't the rain outside that we're talking. So even when I saw this and I'm saying, loving you, loving me, you have to love yourself first before you can love someone else. If you don't love yourself first, there's no way that you are going to love someone else the way how they're supposed to be loved. And there's no way you can tell the person how you want to be loved. We even look at even the five love languages. Not because I want to be loved this way means that's the way how you're going to be loved. So in relationships, I believe it is important to know your love languages, know your partner's love languages. Don't have expectations that each other is going to do the same thing, but know that, hey, all right, my own is quality time, your own is gifts. So that's what we do to show each other love, because the way how you may show me love, which is giving me gifts, is probably not the way how I want to be loved. That's not what I'm saying. My husband is listening, so I'm telling you that's not what I'm saying. No, I'm just saying, I want my gifts. So I'm just saying, not because somebody says, you know, I love gifts. Means that the other person loves gifts also. It means that they probably want something else. So we have to learn to know each other's love language in order to provide love for each other in the way that it needs to be. Yeah.
Wow. So how would you, and I see some comments coming in there, and probably get to some of
the, yeah, I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some engagement here. But let me ask you, how would you personally, yes, this,
to truly love someone, you must first love yourself. That's right. That's, Ricky.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just Ricky saying, yes, I like that.
Satin Brownie, loving you, loving me. I think sometimes there is so much focus on either. Some focus heavily on loving the man or woman, while others love themselves and not so much the other, which is true.
Wow.
I think loving you, loving me is how it should be. Self-love feeds for others.
Wow. Now, how would you define, or how would you explain in your own words, being in love and just loving someone? How would you express it in your experience?
Okay, so in my experience, I
being in love.
Yeah, I mean, I heard you. I don't know if I fall in love easily, so I'm trying to figure out the being in love part. I don't. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, the being in love and the loving. So I love people. I love relatives. I love friends, right? I love my spouse. Am I in love with my spouse? Not every day.
Yes, you are. I'm not in love with my spouse.
G Money said you're in love with him.
I love my spouse every day.
And you're in love with him every day. Sometimes he pisses you off, but come on now.
When it is that he pisses me off, I'm not, oh my God, I'm in love with you at that time. No. And that's why they say people can fall out of love. When you love someone, it overcomes certain things that happens. Just being in love, sometimes that butterfly leaves. That butterfly that you're experiencing and you're in love and you're on top of the world leaves. The love is the one that stays there and fights over things. So if it is that, I'm in love with my husband, definitely, most definitely. Every day when I get up, and if it is that we're having an argument, am I in love with him? I don't know if I'm in love with him at that time, but I know I love him. I don't even know if I like him at that time, but I know I still love him.
I think that's it, the like part, not the in love and all that, because that's if you weren't in love, then the argument would turn and go another direction and take you out of where you were. I mean, you know what I mean? It's a love thing.
It's a love thing, but
the love thing all across the board.
The love is different from the in love, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But it's making me wonder, what is in love? That's the real question, because I think, is it what it means to that person? Or is it what it means? Is there like a standard? Okay, I'm being loved, because I think it moves differently from person to person.
Dr.
Lawrence.
Go ahead, G Money. Yeah.
I just think that what Jihad said is exactly.
Did you say
that? No, I didn't.
Okay.
It's a Gloria. But what I was saying was, I agree with you to a certain level. Like, you know, the love part, like understanding that you have to love yourself first. And if you don't love yourself first, and that's I believe that's a mistake that people make. Like they are so focused on trying to show love, or I can even say myself, show love to their spouse, that they forget to love themselves. And they forget how to love themselves.
Yes.
So and so that's where the kind of the it gets all the gray area, so to speak. So but if you're in love with someone, regardless of how things go, if it's there's no betrayal, there's no nothing like that. You can not like a person that day. You can curse their name that day, but you love them still, and you are still in love with them that day. You know what I mean? And I see Francine Gale said infatuation versus unconditional love. That's it. That's the line that gets crossed. It's not even a line, really. It's like a clear line. You don't even see it sometimes. I don't see it. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
What I'm hearing, May Masterclass say, and I think what I hear her saying is, I am not butterflies all the time, but I am love all the time, and that is what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. the butterfly feeling and that feeling that's not there all the time, but I definitely know this is the person I love and I want to be with for the rest of my life. But do I get all hyped on, all feel like I'm on drugs all the time? No, I don't.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
When you get to that point where you just said you're not butterflies all the time, mm-hmm. and then it's time to break for the day, you go to your job or whatever you got going on, mm-hmm. and your husband goes to his job, do you hug, kiss, and say, see you later, love you, and then you move on? Or most does definitely. That also become impacted as well?
Most definitely.
So that's love. That's that love thing. That's in love.
But I'm saying thing. That. No. I'm just saying that's love. That's love. That's not necessarily that's in love.
No, that's what that is. That's what that is.
Let me ask.
Hold on. So I look up a dictionary a while ago, right? Uh-uh. So it says, Well,
which dictionary?
Hold on. Hold on. So not a dictionary, but I looked up something. It says being in love is indeed like a drug. Being in love is usually a phase at the beginning of a relationship. It's chemistry, wow. It's infatuation, and it is short term. Being in love can be very short term. What stands the test is love, that foundation of love. Love can withstand anything, but being in love, people are in love today and out of love tomorrow.
That's a lot. As you shaking the head,
doctor. Come on, doctor. Come on, doctor. Help me out here. Come on, man. Come on.
He's shaking. Yes.
What I'm thinking about is the fact that the English language is incredibly poor at conveying feelings surrounding love. So, like, for example, in Hebrew, there are about 10 major words you'll see recurring in scripture or even in other Hebrew text representing love. You know, it would be love, making love. I think the term would be like yada, which is a man knowing his wife or a wife knowing her husband sexually. While you'd have 9 other things talking about friendships, siblings,
family,
and all that. So within the English language, love gets tossed around. And probably what we need to do is kind of help it along. So the being in love or falling in love is really the initial stage of taking notice, becoming interested, and actively pursuing. That's the initial. However, as you journey through life, and it's interesting about when you write something down, when you say, I do, you create cognitive dissonance when you go against what you have verbalized to each other. And when you write it down and you sign that paper about forever, what it does, it literally sets up some rules and some boundaries in you that you do not get to leave. People leave, you know, but I'm just saying it is us kind of trying to define it as something different from what you will encounter when you run into a stranger on the train, on a plane, on the streets, and you have an amazing conversation and there's a connection, but it is not pursued. So English is really tricky about figuring out when the word love is used. You literally need a paragraph to then figure out context. What is really being expressed? Because I know Gloria very well. I know she's a lover of her husband. Right? But what does that mean? Is that meaning that she's sexually attracted to her husband? She's someone that cares for her husband? She's someone that actively engages in touch and affirmation and all of those. Even love languages, for example. When you read that book and you look at what it states, what it's simply saying, nobody is one thing. Mm-hmm. We like different things to a differing degree.
Wow.
And my wife is a cuddler. She will hug me to death. I will wake up and she's next to me in the middle of summer. We're both sweating and she's just happy. She loves the connection, the closeness. While for me, my expression of love is I will wash your clothes, feed you, wash the car, fill it with gas, buy you gifts. I really love taking care of somebody that I care for and love. I don't mind the hugs, but at the top of my list is not necessarily a hug. While my wife will forego the gifts
and get the hug
and take the hug. So it's about figuring out what we're saying, and it comes back, G-Money, to the initial communication hygiene that we dealt with.
It came back already.
Bring it back.
Each other when we're talking about love.
Yeah.
Because if you are not defining it in the same way, you are saying one thing and the other person is saying something else. So I ran an experiment today. We were in a restaurant. We were eating as a group. Now, we were discussing, somebody was saying, you know, if they are talking to people and they're not listening to them, they simply leave. I'm saying sometimes it is just that they do not understand the language of what you're saying. And they're like, no, but I was clear about what I said. I gave an example. Someone is coming to clear the table. They're about to take up a plate with some unfinished grapes. So I said, Niet. The lady continued to clear the table. The lady did not care anything about Russian. It was not a part of her schema, our language schema. So even though somebody who understood Russian would have stopped immediately and said, what? For her, it meant nothing. So sometimes we think we're conveying,
but we're not.
Because what we're saying is clear to us based on some conversations we have in our head. But we have not done enough in establishing the context and making sure the vocabulary means the same thing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So another example, my wife will be next to me and say, I miss you. And for a very long time, that completely confused me because I'm like, what on earth does that mean? But she knows what that means.
To her.
You know, it means I am not close enough to her on the couch.
Yeah.
It means put the laptop down and let's lean into each other.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It means let's flip the lights off and go somewhere. Let's stop working for the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While I'm there saying, but I'm here. She said she misses me, but I'm sitting right here. And I'm going in my mind like, what on earth?
Mm-hmm.
And until we had the communication in one of our sit down and let's figure out what's happening, then I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to revisit all the many times I've missed that cue. And I was so angry with me because I could have, you know, I should be probably paying interest. On some of what I just said, I'll collect them in the future, my dad and wife that I know is listening somewhere.
Oh my God. I saw some some comments coming up.
Yes, I saw some people coming in.
If we can
check some of them out.
It says, love sometimes is long suffering. Love is truth and love is no pleasantry all the time, which is true. Love is patience and long suffering.
Wow, that's a whole nother book right there.
Communication, hygiene, listening, understanding are key to loving. Wow. The limitation of languages.
Yes, that's a big one.
Voice in my head, you are speaking.
I like
my
the way
thoughts.
She thinks that in Brownie Bond. I like where she.
Yes,
thinks.
Yeah. Kamisha Anderson Thomas says understanding your partner's love language is very important in a relationship. Most definitely. Communication is so essential, and by that I mean listening and understanding and asking questions sometimes, which is true. You know, even reading it, I was listening to Dr. Lawrence, and I was saying to myself, even in my marriage, and I see somebody saying confused, what are you confused about?
I want to know what she's confused about.
Yeah,
to hear that.
Right, so I remember when I got married, so my husband is more touchy-feely than I am. And I couldn't understand what is happening. If we're sitting down and watching the television, what is the problem? You understand? Until I had to learn that, hey, for him, love is being close. Mm-hmm. Hugging up all the time, holding hands. And for me, it was, if we're in the same space, I'm good. If we're in the same space, I'm good. We're cool. You know, we can play around or whatever. I had to learn that. So even last week, I was busy. I was getting some work done. And I was talking to my husband at the same time and working. And all I remember, he said, oh, let me show you what to do. And he closed my laptop down and I understood what that meant.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
It was time for
Hallelujah.
Me to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Put on that computer and go.
You understood so the assignment.
I understood the assignment.
It has changed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So before, I'd probably not understand it, and I'd probably make a big deal out of it. Like, I'm working. You see me doing something, and you know, no, I understand and I get it. And because probably he was saying before, he was talking before, and I never picked it up. He came and let me show you what I'm talking about, and closed it down. And immediately I got up and went to where he was. So I understood what he was saying. So understanding our partner's love language or what they expect or, you know, how they want to be loved is very important. Because if we miss it, as Steve said, we're missing out on a lot of things. because things that would make and enrich our relationships and our marriages, we're missing out on it. And we're wondering sometimes why it is that we're having long suffering, as was said before. Why is it that we're having so much problems and we're not close? We're not close because we're not trying to understand what makes each other happy.
Wow.
So folks, is there an opportunity where people will be too over analytical? I mean, like, you know, you're trying to understand you're trying to read the situation, and you're just trying so hard to read it, you're reading it wrong.
But instead of reading it, just ask.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm tired of reading things. How about let's just talk? We just talk about things.
You know, Miss Lawrence, I'm getting some ideas here in my mind. I'm thinking, and I'm throwing this out there. Can someone be in love, all right, but not able to love? They can experience being in love, but they don't know how to love, because loving is a whole different approach. Meaning this, if I can maybe break it down a little bit. Some people wake up in the morning, they don't like their nose. They don't like their hips. They don't like their legs. They don't like their hairline. They don't like the family that they're in. They don't like their jobs. You know, so how can they love you? How can they love you when they don't love so much about themselves?
I don't think they can, though.
So I don't see how someone can love you, but they can be in love with you. The same person can be in love with you for a week or two.
It almost sounds like infatuation.
Would you agree with that? Would you be able to see that happening to you?
That almost sounds like infatuation. It doesn't seem as if it's love. I'm not quite sure. I mean, you can see somebody and like them without liking yourself. But to
are experiencing being in love without loving yourself? Is that possible?
I don't know about the in love.
Because I think a lot more people don't love themselves than we say we do. I think a lot more people just don't love themselves. I really believe that. Than we would think.
I think that, you know, what you described is it can grow into that. Meaning, you know, you could be in love with someone, and as you grow and as you and that person grow together, they start to see different things about themselves that they don't like or that they're doing. And then they start to not love themselves as much as they once did. Because, again, I think that that's the part of the lesson that's not getting taught, is that people aren't taught to love themselves. They're looking at marriage and we got to do this for each other. We got to do that. We got to do that. But if you don't, there's so many people that say it, like, if you don't love yourself, how can you love someone else? But no one ever told me that when I was a kid. My mom didn't tell me that. You know what I'm saying? No one actually said that to me, to say, hey, you got to make sure that you figure out how to love yourself. They don't teach you that in school. You know what I mean? That's something that you have to figure out. So it's like, if you fall in love with someone, right? Uh-huh. It is an infatuation. It starts off as an infatuation, or infatuation is in the equation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So then when it's in that equation, then it's like, all right, yeah, we're in love, we're doing our thing, and then things start to change over the years, and people's bodies and things and minds and everything, they're growing, and then all of a sudden, you look different to that person, or they look different to themselves, and they don't know how to love themselves. So when they lose love for themselves, how can they, you know what I mean? Because again, that's that lesson that was never taught. So I don't know what the best option is. You know, I have no idea. I do know that in the trials and tribulations in my life, I've devoted my heart and soul to my marriage and lost myself in it and didn't find a way to love myself. And now talking and growing older and being a little more wiser and listening to more people that are even more wise than me, like Dr. Steve, just listening to people, I've been able to understand that in order for me to truly move into the next phase of my life, I have to love myself. And that's a part that people don't understand.
So when did you find that turning point? When did that thing click? It's like, wait a minute, I gotta start loving me. What transpired? Can you remember that?
Yeah, because it was everything that I was doing wasn't working. And I felt like I was running my head into a wall. Uh-huh. Like I'm running into a wall and it's love. And I don't know if my situation is something that is similar to anyone else's, because I haven't really talked too many details about it, but right. In terms of being with someone who says they love you but is having trouble loving you, mm-hmm. you know, I think we're in the same, me and my wife are in the same position. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She's struggling to love herself, and I've lost myself. So now I have to figure out how to love myself again in order to be able to love. And, you know, that's where it becomes education all at the same time.
Wow. It's funny because, I mean, looking at or listening to what you're saying, G-Money, and thinking back on my, because I've been married before, and thinking on that in terms of losing yourself in a marriage that has been done before, and it was done because I wasn't sure if I loved myself. You know, I know before I got married, you know, I love myself. You couldn't tell me anything about myself.
Exactly.
After I got married, I don't know what happened. I'm seeing Kamisha Anderson Thomas saying self-awareness is very important. The harsh reality is that some people are yet to discover how to give and receive love. Correction to my statement. So I'm saying, so I was in a marriage and what I started to do was try to love that person so much I didn't know who I was anymore. Until I started hating myself. I would look in the mirror and not like the person that I'm seeing. And because I was trying to fit into what that person wanted.
So Miss Lawrence, so give us some ideas. Let's say like you were like maybe being extra nice as far as taking care of him, cooking.
I took care of him. I did everything. I did everything that I probably wasn't supposed to do. And I'm just saying that lightly, but I did everything, taking care of, making sure you're okay. And you know what? He had said something to me, and that's when I realized that, hey, I need to figure this out. He said, in the marriage, it's how it is because I love him more than he loves me.
Mm. Mm.
And it is because he sees that I don't know who I am. And if in a relationship you realize that the person who loves themselves less gets taken advantage of more. So
pretty much.
Yeah. So I had to figure out myself and start loving myself. So in fact, I love to dress up and go out. And when I got married, he didn't want me dressing up anymore.
He met you dressed up. Lord have mercy. You know what I mean? I wasn't even there. I knew that. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't want me dressed up anymore. Wow. And he would make statements to say, I'm outshining him.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. That's right. Make me look good. Come on now.
There are times when I cannot leave the house because other men are going to look at me.
Oh.
So, and because of that, I didn't even, things I used to do before, I stopped doing everything. I stopped dressing up. I stopped putting myself together because he did not want that. And at the end of the day, he started saying things to me, oh, you're fat. I've never been fat in my life. And I started believing that I was fat now.
We start to understand why he got an X in front of his name.
So things like that. And he could only do that because he saw that I was so dedicated. And I mean, there's nothing wrong in dedicating your time to make your partner happy. But when it is that they're not, it's reciprocity is not the, it's not there for both parties. It's only on one side. It does not work. Right. Wow. So if it is that I had probably gone in there and when he had said, no, you can't dress up. And I said, no, I'm dressing up whether you like it or not. I'll be dressing up, you know. Then, I mean, he probably would have respected me more, but because he didn't want me to dress up anyway, there's always excuses for things. Because of that, no, and he saw that I was changing for him, and I'm now losing myself, he could do what he did.
So apparently he couldn't handle it.
He couldn't handle it, that's right.
Wow.
come on, Dr. Steve, kick us up, man. Come on, man. He couldn't handle it.
There's so much happening there. One of the things, though, I can identify what you said, G-Money, and I can understand and identify with what Gloria just shared. I've been in relationships where I was not able to love because I wasn't sure if I wanted that. But when I listen to you, Gloria, you are married to a narcissist.
Yes, and
you
have to understand. Francine just said,
and you read what it says. Literally, you know, you are even supposed to feel pity for that person, but you're also supposed to love yourself enough to leave.
Yeah.
Because nothing fixes that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I've said before, usually if you cannot get a disagreeable child socialized by the time they're around four, And if it gets to about 8-7, that's done. They're going to have challenges with the school rules. They're going to have challenges with the law and the security forces really early. By the time they're in adolescence, they would have had some kind of record. And this is regardless of skin color.
Well,
right. So while the data will support that there are some, you know, there are some other cultural things going on there, temperament and personality types do. When the Bible talks about being unequally yoked, people make it about, do you go to the same church?
Right.
Garbage.
Right.
That's one variable among many variables.
Yes.
There can be cultural barriers. There can be the same love languages. It can be unresolved trauma, and then it can also be the personality traits, where in communication hygiene, one of the things that it is supposed to do is help you to help each other.
True.
So if I have not gotten enough sleep and my mood is off, my wife has the permission to say to me, "Hon, watch it today." I'm not going to blow up and say, "Oh, what do you mean?" I know she's looking at me and saying, "You're dead today. You're bloodshot. You slept for 2 hours.
It's probably not your day.
Going into a building with 900 people.
Ease yourself.
Be on the lookout. Yes. Be on the lookout."
Right? And the same will go. My wife might be having migraines, and she will have a low tolerance of lighting and noise and all of that. But she still has to go and perform duties that are life-changing and are essential services. Mm-hmm. But I will say, "Hon, I'll call in the day. Hon, remember to eat. Remember to hydrate." And it's not because she is not a responsible adult. It's really just me saying the same thing. Just watch yourself a little bit more closely today. You know, just... But, and guess what? You have to understand, there are good ways and easy ways and nice ways of saying something to your partner who you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Yes.
A lot of people have discussions and have arguments as if they're trying to win. There's no winning an argument in a relationship. All you have done is set the stage for a future argument.
Say it again. Say it again.
No, there's no winning an argument in a relationship. You have just set the stage for future arguments.
Wow.
Because notes are being taken, feelings are being documented.
It's like a bank account, you know.
Will rise again in another form.
Wow.
Well, steamy.
2 months ago.
More fermented.
On a Saturday.
More potent. What you want to do is help your partner figure out what they're trying to share with you, so that together you can say, "Oh, that is what you want." You're not trying to make the person a loser. Because it will also have a negative connote for you. Because if you have just decided to spend your entire life with somebody who you can turn into a loser in every argument, that's not saying much for you. It's saying that you're diabolic and poorly oriented.
Yes.
Not mature. And so many other colorful variables and words I couldn't use in this context. But, you know, it is an honest understanding that we're in this thing together. We're going to sink or swim together. We want to survive it, and we're going to help each other. And if we start viewing each other as the catch, the male must see himself as a catch, the female must see herself as a catch, and then treat each other delicately to preserve that value. At any point, if you are able to say something to your partner that devalues them, something is wrong with you. You need to put the work in and get the self-help. And if you are unable to see yourself in that way, that partner should leave. Because all you would have done is tyrannized another human being.
Yes. Wow. I have a question. I have a question to ask the panel. And Steve, that's a powerful, powerful What you're saying really resonates with me. It really does. Folks, you listen to LTR. This is Let's Talk Relationships. And as you can hear, no, we're talking about love, talking about, you know, loving you, loving me. The question I want to have, I want to ask you guys, and it's a personal one. Have you ever had an experience during a relationship where you met someone meet a friend or someone that you, you know, meet in some environment that you feel this person here and I have a certain connection that, man, it feels right. And you began to question your own immediate relationship, like, did I make a mistake? You know, because this right over here feels so right. Whether the person was married, whether they were getting divorced, whether they were a good friend or some acquaintance, that you felt like there was something there that was like, man, maybe I made a mistake over here with my partner. Can you express that, if you've had the experience before in your life?
Go ahead, G Money.
No, only thing I was going to say is that it coincides for me, and yes, I guess that to answer the question would be yes, it coincided with me to meet that person or to, because I was already vulnerable in the situation that I was in. I was already in a place where there was some doubt as I left home and as I went into the world, you know, going to work or wherever else. There was a little bit of doubt here and there, you know, not understanding the love language or not, you know, feeling that love or being that person that's getting kind of beat down a little bit. So when you go out and then you meet someone, yeah, I mean, it's happened, you know, it just has. And it makes that connection. And it's strange to feel that way. Mm-hmm. It's scary all at the same time too, but yes, I have. And I felt like when my relationship with my wife was at the strongest peak, nobody could infiltrate that. You know, wow. Nobody. Maybe Jada Pinkett, maybe, you know, you know, Rihanna, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, some of them people, you know, J-Lo, me and J-Lo, we had our thing, but she didn't really reciprocate that. But, you know, that kind of situation, you know what I'm saying? It couldn't be infiltrated. And then when the armor started to peel away a little bit, you know, and then you're out in the world, and I'm sure my wife probably felt the same way, you know, at some point, but, you know, I was vulnerable and I met this person and we connected and it felt like, damn, she really appreciates who I am. And she don't even know who the hell I am. What's this conversation?
Did you express that to your wife at the time?
Hell no. How do you, please, DJ KT, explain to me how you bring that conversation?
Listen, some brothers do, man. You know, I'm being honest, you know, I'm being just being open here. I'm just trying to be, you know, just trying to be a cool dude here. You know,
I ain't that damn cool. I can tell you that right now.
Gloria, what do you say?
I've been in that position before. I think I've said it here before that I've been in that position.
And how did it not go over the cross that line? How did it not?
First of all, that was with my first husband, and I knew that I knew it was a mistake. It's not that I thought it was a mistake. It was a mistake. I did tell him. I mean, G Money said he ain't that cool. I told him. I said, hey, I'm gonna find somebody else I can talk to.
It's more than that. I mean, verbally.
That's strong.
Verbally. I think, as Steve said, when you say something, you know, and you're cutting down your partner, somebody should leave. Because that's abusive.
It's time to go.
Because of what was happening, uh-huh. I did not care. I did not care.
You came to that cutoff point.
I did not care. Mm-hmm. It was too toxic. We're in situations where I'll be out in the public, he's trying to embarrass me in the public, we're out in the public and he just takes the car and drives and leaves me, and after we find him a way home, I was in a terrible situation. So definitely, and I did say to him, hey, I'm gonna find somebody else, and he was like, well, I already found somebody else. Okay.
Oh man.
That's what I was in. So for me, it was really nothing for me to voice my opinions and to say what I needed to say. And I mean, was it something good to do? I don't think so. I think I probably should have left before it started going there. Really, actually. I should have already known that, hey, if you're going to be doing that, it's time. It's really time for you to leave. So yeah, but I've been in that situation before.
One of the things though, Gloria, and I listen to you and I understand so much of it, not just because of counseling work and support of others, but my own journey and my own feelings. I've been in a position where I got introduced to sex too early and it messed with many relationships for a very long time, because then sex did not become the intimacy that it was supposed to be. It was the kind of thing we discussed in the show the other day about, so you showed up to perform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got the impression that every encounter was supposed to be this big performance. And when I look at it with adult eyes now, I recognize that our cultures do a very poor job of preparing us for sustainable relationships.
Oh, boy.
Right? If you sit in a barbershop or a hair salon long enough,
you will hear.
You will hear that we aren't ready. I'm from Jamaica. I am Jamaican. The moment you can have a song saying, man fi have enough gal, and for mm-hmm. those who don't speak patois, I should have as many partners as I can have.
They say it again. Say it again. How do you say it again?
You know,
that's not encouragement. Gal from jungle.
It's saying, and females would be singing that song. Males would be singing that song. It means that a society has codified that dysfunction of dysfunctional relationships.
Yeah.
Serial adultery. Serial. And it has been normalized. Because that should not be something that could be played in public and people enjoy it. Because what it is saying, relationships should not be respected. No. People should be exploited.
Yeah.
It should be transactional because I have some resources to spend in this particular way. And people should be attracted to it. That's what the song just said.
Yeah.
And we are able to play that publicly. It means that my society is teaching me as a young man, and I'm seeing men singing it, women singing it. It's normalized. So when you then have that as this context within which we are nurtured, we're not even touching epigenetics, where we are a product of all our parents and our grandparents and those before us have experienced.
Wow. It's like regular sauce. It's in there.
Right? So it's in the sauce.
Yeah.
And the whole concept of genetic anticipation, where a child who is a child of a parent who is an addict, it is going to be amplified that they are going to be drawn to addictive tendencies. Right? It may not, it may not become hard drugs.
Yes.
It may become alcohol. It may become sex. It may even become money. Because at the end of the day, if it is triggering the right receptors in the brain, this person is having mini orgasms from making some money, from having a conversation outside of the relationship. And as an adult, you have to be mature enough to say, I have these things in my DNA. I see where I'm broken. And something will leak where it is weakest. So if a tank is, or a tire is punctured, it will leak where it is leakest. It's going to leak where it's weakest. So with me, having that history, having that understanding of myself, I do things to keep myself safe. How I keep myself safe, my wife has access to my phone, my laptop. She has my PIN number for my bank account, my passwords, everything. So even if I wanted to do a pack of nonsense, I've created an environment where it would not, it would violate my structure.
Yeah.
I would torpedo my own relationship. So I've given access to keep me honest. Because even if I am not intentionally seeking to destroy, I know what my failings would probably be. You'd be able to get me to use drugs. But having been a serial adulterer for many years, it is something I can watch carefully. If I'm at work and I find that I want to spend too much time with a particular person, I stop. I look at myself and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know how this will play out.
Self-check.
And I check myself and I step away from it. It's not that I don't have the interest or the pull like anyone else, but I'm saying I've set my cards up in such a way that it will demolish what I have built with my wife. So I'm keeping myself honest through putting in these mechanisms of transparency. You can log into my bank account at any time. You can log into my email at any point. You can log into my laptop at any point. No passwords are hidden from you. That helps to keep me safe and helps to keep me honest.
Is it the same way the other, do you have all that access to your wife's as well?
Yeah, but I don't use it because I really do not have that concern.
And she probably doesn't either. I was just asking.
Yeah, wow. She has, and I have. So you know, her fingerprint is on my phone. My fingerprint is on her phone now.
Wow. Do you know, Dr. Lawrence, you know, I like what you say is so powerful because there are many people who really feel vulnerable. They feel weak in areas that sometimes only they know about. But I like how you brought the point out that there are things that we can do.
Yes.
You know, so it's not about being perfect. It's not about avoiding mistakes. It's how can we foolproof ourselves to such a degree where the chance becomes so slim.
Slim. Yeah.
Especially with someone that we say we love, right? Yeah. I remember, I'm going to let you say something, Ms. Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I remember there were days when I knew I had struggles. Speaking on a show last time that I was exposed to porn, very 18, 19, first time, blew my mind. But with porn, I wasn't this person that watched it all this time. It was this constant thing, but it was like every 2-3 weeks or so, every month. So I never had a crash point, like I crashed and I stopped. It was like every couple of weeks, it was like the urge, it was incredible. So I felt okay because it wasn't every day, every other day. It was like, you know, 2-3 months, back again. So that was probably more dangerous because I felt okay. Never had a crash. You say, well, stop or whatever it is. Thank God, you know, the wife that I married was very much against it to the point where I'm not saying it's bad, but it helped me as well. Because she really was like, you know, I thought it was okay to have it in a marriage because I remember I went to a bachelor party, Christian bachelor party, and God was saying, hey, man, you know, put one of those things maybe with your wife and so on. But for some people who maybe have struggled with that stuff, don't need that kind of advice, see, because that may take me to another direction. But it felt okay going through it, honey, can we try this? It was like, no, we're not having that. And so I think that was my savior there in a way to say, listen, let me just not even go there. But again, I like what you said, Steve, with the fact that the things that we can do and we should do to really help us. So don't feel so bad if you know that you have this weakness and it's bothering you or you may feel vulnerable. Just find a ways to enforce yourself.
It sounds to me like, you know, one of the struggles that I've had or, you know, people have had, I'll just speak for myself, is the actual true partnership in a marriage. You know, so what you describe, Dr. Lawrence, was a true partnership in understanding where you had been and where you needed to be and go. You know what I mean? And because of that, it's a beautiful thing, and DJ KT hit it right. It's powerful. You know, for someone like me who doesn't experience that partnership, you know, who doesn't feel that partner in their life, you know what I mean? Like, it's, we were partners at one point, and as we move through the 18, 19 years we've been together, we've moved this way, but I'm chasing behind. There's no partnership. So everything that you just described is awesome. It's really cool. But at some point, you know, for me, I'm like, well, it's not going to work for me because I don't actually have a partner. I don't have someone who's looking at me as like, you know, I want to build him up. You know what I mean? That's not the build up. You know what I mean? I think that's dope. And I would always, and people who I've talked to, young people who get married, things of that nature. And in my line of work, I talk to a lot of people, you know, not helping, just conversation, you know. Be a partner. If you're getting married, be a partner. Look at your person. Look at the person that you're marrying and be that partner. And, you know, when we spoke last, some of the things that you said were so powerful to me that I've tried to make sure that I've incorporated into how I move with my wife and currently, regardless of how we go. And that's the build up, building each other up, you know, and really trying. It's hard now to try because it's coming from just one side at this point, but it makes so much sense. It really does. Wow. And what you talked about is key to the partnership and the growth of a relationship. Now, some people probably wouldn't agree with you. Oh, I'm not giving my wife my my information or my passwords and all that stuff. And maybe they don't need to. Maybe they don't, you know, but it makes total sense to me. It just does. It resonates with me very well, and I can appreciate it. And I think that it's very powerful.
Wow.
One thing though, G Money. The other thing too is when we started dating, we could have gotten married really quickly. And it took us a very long time. It took us years to get married. And nobody understood it. But we have a lot of work to put in because we've both been in relationships that we had to bend ourselves out of shape. Huh. We walked on eggshells. We had to become who we were not just to make somebody else happy. So going into another relationship with that dysfunction, you think you're whole, but you're bent and twisted and you have all kind of triggers. There's this thing I used to say to my wife before I could have the kind of real conversations that we now have. And I used to say, if a person uses a sledgehammer to kill an ant, it's not about the ant. And I used to say all the time, it was my facetious way of saying, that's not what this is about. But because I didn't feel safe enough to be able to say that, I'd be like,
safe, you know, yes.
It's not about the ant. And we are now at a point where we can laugh about that. But it took time where we sat with the psychologist. We've had sessions where we started the talking and one person had to just, they had to just stop because it was going too deep and it was too heavy at once. But over the years, we have worked on helping each other. Because, all right, I'll give you an instance. I remember dating somebody years ago. And this person went on a trip to a conference and brought me back blazers and whatever. And I was so angry, I gave everything away because I thought it was a criticism of my current wardrobe.
Oh, wow.
I could not see it as this person going away and saying, okay, this is something we could all dress up and go out in on our date. Or on a, I saw it as a criticism of what I already own. How dare you think? Uh-huh. But the truth is, when I audited it after getting some help and some counseling and some psychological support, and I realized the person was expressing love. Because one of the things, too, is you express love and you're triggered by what you'd want for yourself. So if you are somebody that will go out of your way and you plan for everybody's birthday and you'll buy them gifts, that's an indication for the partner to take note of saying, this is how the person would best receive love. Because that is a lens they're using to view the world. So if a person is touchy-feely, you can buy them nice gifts. That's fine. You should smell nice when they touch you. But they really want a contact. So do the is and hers massage. Lie together, across from each other. Get the work in while holding hands. That is somebody, because I had to figure out, yes, I love massages. My wife may not necessarily enjoy me being locked up in a room with somebody walking on my back.
No.
But she's okay being in the room and having the same. And I had to grow into that because being single for a long time, I was accustomed to doing things the way I wanted it. But there then I had to figure out, how do we do things the way we want it?
Yeah,
and that was where maturation had to take place. Where I had to do the self-assessment, see what my triggers were, see what my feelings were, and honestly say, let me work on this. Because one of the things you do as you get mature as well, you do not want to add to any more trauma to the person you have loved. Because you recognize they have been through so much. You're like, I do not want that list that they already have. I do not want to add to it. Right? Yeah. And when you make that breakthrough in your mind, it changes everything you're able to do. Because now you're more about protecting, shielding, building, affirming. What confuses me is I've read a lot of divorce documents. Because most times when males are partners, friends, have challenges, and they said, how could somebody, and when I realized, I said, one of the things that we do not value enough is that positive affirmation and encouragement and support. Yes. In the same way that a negative document can completely demolish a person, take the wind out of their sail. Words going in the opposite direction, affirming, encouraging, supportive, scaffolding, it puts wind in sails, unlike any money, unlike any promotion could ever do. It is so free, it is so cheap, and we do it so little.
Yeah.
It's one of the best and cheapest gifts you can give. You don't have to shop for it. You don't have to genuinely want to encourage and support the person. And if you give it, you have done something amazing. But guess what? Many times we withhold it from people. And I can't get it because I'm like, it is free.
But I'm gonna,
I'm gonna explain
to you why, but I want to read some of the comments before because I see some very interesting things coming up.
Yes, I see some as well.
So
go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm waiting on them to come up. But there were some very important points. So we're seeing from Francine Gale, G-Money, you have to set the expectations continually. You have to do the internal work continually to maintain good emotional health.
Hold on, dear. Let me hear G-Money respond to that.
I think that, first of all, I agree with what she said. And emotional health is key. And again, that's something that I didn't know. You know, as I am right now, as I am in my age and where I'm at with my marriage, I didn't know. And I'm pouring into it and losing myself, losing track of what I got going on and just focusing on what can I do, what can I can't do. And eggshells, as Steve described it, that's been me, you know. Uh-huh. And over the last 2 years, I've changed myself. Mm-hmm. I've changed I've jumped into my fitness and being, you know, I quit smoking and I just, you know, there's so many positives in my life and it's like, I feel like I'm moving in a direction, but I feel good, but it's not being reciprocated. And it's as if those efforts are lost. So what she said is it makes sense. Maintain my good emotional health, and I have to do that. I have to do that, and set expectations as well, because that's a key. But setting the expectations part is new, because when you've walked around on eggshells for years, setting the expectations is harder. Yes. So what I've done is set expectations for myself and the things that I'm doing, and how I can self get myself back to a place where I love myself on a regular.
Yes.
And then everything else, I believe, will fall into place.
Gotcha.
All right, Marie Pusey Gordon, she's saying our music has been powerful in promoting relationships that are not wholesome. And you're correct. Satin Brownie says, it is important for us to ask ourselves, how do I attract and who am I attracting? What we attract speaks to / reveals what is within us, I believe.
I like what she says. I'm attracted to her. Is that a bad thing?
McCann, brother. Satin Brownie also said, what I am choosing is what I am in agreement with. So we have to ask ourselves, this person that I have agreed with, why is this same person in conflict with what pleases me? Marie Pusey Gordon again say, yes, be accountable. Agree, Mr. Lawrence. And Just Ricky says, smart man, Dr. Lawrence.
Big up, Dr. Lawrence.
Sutton again says, I think we choose people who we then struggle to live up to.
Wow.
Yes, partnership. So as even Sutton Brownie speaks about partnership and collaboration that synchronizes in harmony, I'm going to piggyback on what Steve said. So he was speaking based on sharing and the partnership that both persons have in a marriage. And as G Money said, not everybody has that partnership. So not everybody feels safe to share and open up because of how the partner may react. Right? Everybody wants to feel safe in a relationship, in a marriage. So even sharing information, I have no problem sharing my information with my husband now. Initially, did I? Definitely. Why? Because I believe my husband was a hothead. He did not know how to react to things. And I think I also was a hothead. I don't know how to react.
Two hotheads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what had to happen is, and we're at a place now where I can say, oh, you know, as Steve said, I am we're accountable to each other. So if it is that I'm talking about something with one of my friends and a male friend, I would say, hey, you know, babe, we spoke about this, and I tell him the basis of it and what we spoke about and whatever. So I feel freer now to do so because his reaction is different. If his reaction was still the same, I would not be open to share with him, and vice versa, because we have to feel safe doing so. Even we just had a conversation yesterday where I was saying, boy, I know myself. I know I love having conversations with people, and I know the type of men I am attracted to. So if it is that I'm on whether Instagram or any social media and I see those type of men, I start scrolling faster. Or if it is that anybody sends anything to me without them even knowing, because sometimes people don't know what they're doing and they might think it's fun or so, and they send something and I'm like, this is going to get me in problem. I delete it. I had a conversation with my girlfriend a couple weeks ago and I said to her, hey, don't send me these things, because I'm myself, and therefore I have to also be accountable and stop things from happening, because things that starts off as nothing end up as big things sometimes without us even knowing how it got there. So even noticing certain things, you have to put it and say, hey, all right, we're not gonna cross there. Or I say, hey, this is what's happening. I would say to him, hey, this is what's happening. Or, you know, say, I see somebody, he now would know if he sees a man, he would say, this is your type of man, let you know. We can now have that conversation without there is an argument or whatever, because I don't dwell on it anymore. And I ensure that, hey, I love having conversations, especially with men. Therefore, I make sure I have most of my conversations with my husband.
And there's trust and there's been no betrayal.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I don't think both of us had trust with each other before.
I'm saying there is trust and there has been no betrayal. So
there has been no betrayal.
Yeah. So that part of it is key. So he had to figure out how to manage that. And you, the hothead part. I mean, you're the hothead. Why is she talking to you? Why, you know, that kind of thing, whatever. But yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, that's important. That's true partnership.
It comes from far away. It just don't happen, you know. And Steve even mentioned something about why is it that we don't tell people we love them or say affirmative words, give people affirmative words, and it's free. And I'm saying to myself, in my relationship, when I was first getting these free love affirmations, I told him don't. I don't want it. And I did that because it's not because I don't believe he loved me and wanted to send me nice things in the morning. Every morning I got up, I read those nice things. It's because I was used to hearing I love you every day from who I was with before. And there was nothing to prove that I loved you. So sending me those things, I did not accept it. I cannot accept it. I did not know how to accept it. So I wanted to see things being done. And I don't want to just hear things anymore. And that is for me how I accept love. So now he shows even more than he says, or more than he sends these little love notes, which he hardly does anyway, because I guess I had stopped that from the initial stage. But he shows more that, hey, I love you, because he realized I want to see stuff. Saying things alone to me does not do anything for me. So that's why sometimes people don't, right? So that's why sometimes people don't accept these things or want to give it, because either they were rejected when they gave it, or they don't know how to receive it.
You know, I tell you, folks, listen to LTR, Let's Talk Relationships. We're discussing a very interesting topic tonight, and we're just sharing different things. We're getting some great feedback from the audience, and I hope you learned some stuff tonight. I hope you really feel us out and see that you know, we can really improve ourselves no matter where we start off from. Now, I personally have had some experiences that I thought it's worth sharing. Maybe we can help somebody here. But, you know, after I got divorced, my whole perspective changed on how to treat myself in any given relationship. And, you know, I'll be someone that would give and give and give. And, you know, I mean, just really enjoy doing so. Steve, talk about washing the car. No, I'm taking the car to the wash. I'm hugging you now. We want the hugs. Okay, I'm going to the car wash and letting them wash the car. I'm coming home. I want my hugs. But the thing is that I realized that now when I see something, I can spot it so fast that, you know, no, that's not the way. No, I don't deserve this. No, this is not the way to go. And not insulting, but understanding me now that you know, time is really short, and can't waste time. Make people change. Want to make them do what you know you think they need to do to make it work. At the same time, you know, being a believer, you know, the good book says sometimes we do have to forbear. You know, in not this fantasy or lovey-dovey all the time. There's some pain. There's some process. There's some downtime. There's some, oh my God, you know, there's some moments that will make you feel like, you know, I want to quit or whatever. You want to kind of run to the other side. But the reality is that I learned during my marriage that even though I didn't get married with this in love feeling, it grew over time very, very strong. Like, I was like, man, this is real deep. It felt like it was growing and growing and growing. It wasn't this over the top, you know, I'm in love feeling. You know, in the church I was born in, you know, in the church I used to attend, you know, the pastors that I saw, they weren't very, you know, affectionate to their wives in public. You wouldn't hear those words, you know, like that, and that kind of affection wouldn't be shown. The men that I knew didn't show it like that. My dad wasn't that kind of that way. Very, you know, they worked hard, provided for their family. They were loyal men, but you didn't see that affection. So I wasn't too clear on how this love thing works. So when I got married, I wasn't looking for this love feeling. I didn't care. I just, you know, God's will and purpose. But one thing I know though, that over time, you know, I just put the time in there, that love became very strong to me. Like, this feels really, really strong. But tell me, and if you can just in your own words, how would you advise someone right now? We're about to close out real soon. Someone right now who really are looking to get into a relationship. All right, they may be feeling that love feeling, that butterfly stuff. How can we give those folks a dose of reality? You know, just something to kind of foresee and maybe prepare for, you know, based on your experience. What would you say to these folks? Because, I mean, they're out there. I'm telling you, they're there.
I want to give a shot at this because I'm really believing that if we have the right conversations, we can help people. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been really transparent in a lot of what we've shared, and we've tried to be very objective. We try not to have our biases playing on our ability to take the vantage point of others and really understand what their experience is, you know, phenomenologically. One of the things, though, do not take your relationship schema and advice from Lifetime TV, from Disney channels. Life is not a fantasy. Once you have adults who grew up with separate lives, separate experiences, they have had good days, bad days, they've been through storms, they have trauma, they have repressed, all kind of things happening.
Oh, wow.
And you have to be prepared, if you are going to walk with this person, that your job is to scaffold them and help them heal.
Wow.
One. Second, if that is not what you intend to do, leave them alone.
Wow.
Because if you are not going to be a part of it, they're going to come in with reciprocity, helping you heal. Because everybody brings some stuff that is not sustainable to a relationship.
Wow.
And you have to be mature enough to say, I'm going to need support to work through the challenges I'm facing. Two, do not. I had a conversation recently, and the person was like, they don't like when any negative thing is said in a relationship. They don't like arguments. They don't like, I'm like, you don't like reality.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because what you need to recognize is, I'll give an example. You will have forest fires, and people are afraid of forest fires.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, forest fires have gone on for millennia. The challenge we have is that we have not figured out where we should have put houses and what we should have left as forest. So now we put houses in the middle of a forest. When they're trying to kill bears, trap bears who still see the forest as a forest.
Yeah.
We're trying to kill snakes that still see the forest as a forest.
As my own.
We're trying to kill everything
Wow.
And we're trying to stop fires from burning. Mm-hmm. The challenge is forest fires help to burn off buildup of leaves and other things. It creates topsoil. It creates nourishment for the trees. Most trees will survive a forest fire and grow back. However, if you prevent a forest fire for too long, the next time it burns, it creates a desert because it burns even the existing topsoil off and turns it into rock. And we have to see relationships in the same way. Have the discussions, have the conversations, have the arguments, valuing each other, respecting each other, understanding that these forest fires burn off what could build up, and when it eventually burns, it burns so hot, you don't have anything to come back to. It cannot work as a relationship. So if you allow it to build up too much, if you tiptoe around the issues too much,
don't
address it, what could have been slain as a small egg of a dragon? Hatches, it becomes a baby dragon, you still don't slay it. And then it grows into something that's breathing fire. What do you do at that point?
I'm running.
You have to run. And we have done that in our relationships forever.
Oh, wow.
And we need to just, it's not a fantasy.
Wow.
It's a deliberate effort to survive together or not. Uh-huh. And it has to be fine, whichever way. And those are my two cents, because this could get so much longer. So
everyone, that was like six cents, and I agree.
That was good. That was good.
I'm gonna agree with Steve. Relationships are not fantasies, and I've also honestly can say I don't enter a relationship based on I want somebody to ride me off on a white horse, and somebody's singing and looking down the window, and I'm climbing down to the that has never happened. For me, because I've always been a realist where relationships are concerned. Sometimes, Steve is saying that if it is that we're not trying to help the person, it makes no sense. But for me, sometimes wanting to help gets us in the same problems that we need to come out of. And I'm going to say that because for my first marriage, I saw things and I saw the flags waving and I still got married. And I probably it's a party is happening somewhere else and we need to go excitement. That was not the case. I saw these flags and I should have run, but I said, know what? I'm a counselor. I'm a social worker. Let me help. Wow. I can fix him. What happened is that there were problems. So going in, I knew he didn't like I lived uptown. He didn't like that about me because I'm an uptown girl. And he had a problem because you come from the ghetto, So uptown, there's obviously something wrong with uptown. So he had a problem. In my head, you'll get used to it because everybody wants to come onto the ghetto, right? So we think. Yeah. because of who my family was, it was a problem. And I'm like, you'll get used to it. It's nothing, So you're thinking that, hey, there are certain things about this person that, you can't get used to this. Or no, these are some things that, you need help with. I'm here to help you because that's what I do. So I'm going to help you. Those caused resentment. Uh-huh. Those caused him not wanting to be with me anymore. Those caused him now being disrespectful and degrading and saying all things that he shouldn't have said. Why? Because he was angry. And then it came off as if I'm better than him because I'm uptown and I'm trying to help him. And he would say, well, I am not your client. So don't treat me like your client. You're trying to help me. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. So it never went well trying to help him. And even so, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes the helping causes some of the problems sometimes because people sometimes don't want to be helped. They don't. True. And we have to realize that. So when we see that, even in the initial stage, yes, I want to be with somebody. Yes, I want to be in love. Yes, you want to have that relationship and that partnership. But when we see things, we need to ask ourselves questions. Yeah. Am I going to be able to deal with this? Because what I've realized is after marriage, some of these things become worse.
Yeah. They're
unless there is intentional change, it becomes worse. So we have to ask ourselves these questions and don't say, when I get married, it's going to change and he's going to be better or she's going to be better.
Big mistake.
That's a big mistake.
See, money.
Well, I would say that, when you're going to get married and the things that I've experienced in my life, I would ask that the persons or people that I come in contact with that ask me, talk to your partner. Talk about what partnership means. Talk about what your life goals are. You know, you can be in the moment of wanting to get married. You can be in the moment of a lot of different things, and the lust and the infatuation can take over. And, you know, I want to be with you the rest of my life. Well, talk about what that actually means. You know, talk about what it means when, and kind of dive into the vows of marriage, you know, and what it means to you. You know, like when you look at for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, for sickness and in health, what does that mean to each of you? Look at the vows and really, you know, dissect them, you know, and not in a sense of you have to be like a therapist or whatever, but just, you know, what does it mean when, yeah, be real. When you read it and you see it and you hear it, what do the vows mean to you? And understanding the vows and then kind of coming to common ground in that way, because I you know, there's so many people that I talk to that reasons that and adultery, all these things, that the reasons that they break apart. And it's, if you just understand what you're embarking on from a marriage perspective and you try your hardest to get it in the beginning, because you don't know, you don't have any idea. You need to talk to people that are like been married for 20, 30 years. Yeah. You know, you need to dive into them too. If you truly believe in the sanctity of marriage, it's good to talk to people that have been doing it for a long time.
There you go.
And you know, and listen to them, and then you take whatever you take from them. It may not work, and it just may not work, but if you go in with that positive mind frame and you look at and you lean on resources that you may have, then you're going to give the best shot at it. You're going to give the best shot at it. My wife and I have been together for so long. We're about to get divorced. We're about to split. We're about to get separated. And we've been together for 19 years. It's like, it is what it is. But don't think that it wasn't successful. It just wasn't the end. We're not going to finish the way that I wanted to finish, but there was a lot of success in there. So understand that and you know, lean on the people that you know that have had success in their marriage.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, I've been hearing you guys. I think I have nothing else to say, but again, thank you for again being a guest here on LTR. Phenomenal job. Great audience. I mean, very engaged again, as you can see. And you mean that folks are there, it's happening here, you know? Things are really taking place in small bits and pieces, but I think it's just the way life works, you know? We don't get it all in one bowl, just a little at a time. People share and they're really authentic. And that's what I want to bring here on LTR. Have the conversation. We got to have the conversation. So before we close out, guys, just briefly tell us where you are, we can find you. Well, you know, because I'm sure, you know, the links go on, and you know, we want to make sure we can connect if they need to connect with you guys. Ms. Lawrence?
Okay, you can find me on the Unfiltered by Jade on Instagram.
All right. Mr. Lawrence?
I'm Brother S. Lawrence on Instagram as well. So
that's Brother S. Lawrence.
Yes.
We need to work on that brother thing, and we need to kind of change it to like the doctor brother or brother doctor, or
you know.
Yeah, I'll make the submission.
When we invite you to our show, we're going to definitely talk about that. You know, yes. I think that's important. You can find me on the 4&4 podcast. You know, we're on all, you know, Instagram. We're on Facebook. You know, you can listen to our podcast. We have a bunch of episodes, and you can hear us on Apple Podcasts or Anchor, things of that nature. But again, I really appreciate being on here. Thank you so much, DJ KTE.
Hey, man, the guys are great. Thank you. And listen, I wish you guys, wherever you are, in success, and always in your goals, in your future plans. Looking to close out another year. Looking forward to a new year. I'm excited. I'm staying positive. I got good news. I can't tell y'all now, but I got good news. But folks, we're here on LTR again another week. We thank you all for being here. Bless you guys and your household. And peace to everyone. Producers, thank you. You did a great job tonight, as always. And to the audience, we thank you always. And stay tuned with us again next week for another LTR. with DJ KTE and Lady Misty. Folks, peace out. Y'all stay blessed. Love you guys.